sessions here to, this morning and this after tonight service. I think most of you know Brother Al, who's been here several times before, and just, I knew y'all would make him feel at home as he comes and delivers God's word this morning, and he'll be back tonight. Don't forget, this Saturday, March the 15th, at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., it's a clothes giveaway. Please have your clothes here that you want to donate to the church by Thursday. That's March the 13th. And we'll sort and put out the clothes that this Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. So if you can, come and help us Thursday night, we would appreciate it. It takes a while to get everything sorted and sized and put out, so we could use the help. Do not forget, Thursday, March the 20th at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting. Saturday, March the 22nd at 5 p.m. is the Baby Shower honoring Malik and Destina, given by Nana and Popper and Amy Dudding. That'll be at the Pastorium. Mark your calendar for that. Sunday, March the 30th, we'll observe the Lord's Supper and have our fellowship meal after the morning services. That'll be a covered dish, so please remember that. And also remember that Sunday night, fifth Sunday and all, we have the worship service that night in the original church. April the 5th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. is miscellaneous wedding shower for Ariel and Josh. And the shower will be held in the original church. Any other announcements? If not, I do have a card here I'd like to read, if I can get through it. Words can never express the appreciation my children and I have for Whitman Baptist Church. The love and care, the kindness and warmth shown to us at this time in our lives. I love this church and each one of you, and that's from Lorraine Pope and her family. So continue to remember them, and we appreciate the thank you card. Any birthdays?
No, that's four in a row, huh?
Four in a row, okay.
That must not like our singing.
As we go to the Lord in prayer today, we will pray for the services and all, but just remember Larry and Donner. Donner's having a rough day today. Through everything that she's been through, everybody, I don't have to go through all that, but remember them in your prayers today. It's been a rough few weeks for them. So let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to gather here, Lord. We thank you for the way that you watch over us, Lord. And we just thank you for Brother Al today, Lord, for coming and sharing with us today, Lord, and giving Brother Tim and Amy the opportunity, Lord, to go and go to this pastor's retreat, Lord, and get encouraged. And Lord, we just want to thank you for that. Lord, we do want to lift up Larry and Donner to you and the others today, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you give them a peaceful day and a restful day today, Lord. Lord, but we just want to come now and just pray for this service, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as your word is proclaimed, your word is preached today, Lord, that we have come prepared, Lord, that our hearts are prepared to not only hear, Lord, but to be attentive, Lord, to listen, Lord, but not only just not stop there, Lord, by listening, Lord. Your word also tells us to be obedient, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that we'll do that, Lord, and that we'll just focus entirely on our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Brother Tim?
Yes, sir.
Rushing you.
Well, if you can, please stand this morning as we sing, "We Have Come Into His House." Thank you. 4:10, it is well with my soul. 4:10.
Father, we love you, we worship you. Sunday school teachers. And Lord, we thank for Brother Al as he brings the message today, Lord. We just pray that you'll give the words that we need to hear. Lord, we also pray that we'll be attentive, that you will, we will see the adaptation to our life and just help us to use it to glorify your name. Lord, we thank you for this time to give back to you the things that are yours and to try to glorify you through our giving and our offerings. Just help us to serve you this day in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Wow, that's loud. I'm already naturally loud, so. For those who don't know me, I am Al Sessions. I am the counselor at Wiggum School. I am the father of 8 children, grandfather of 6 children. We just like children. We have 4 biological and then 4 adopted. And I've been at Wiggum School now, this is my 4th year. So I'm about to finish at the end of May my 4th year. Prior to that, I was the pastor at Gordon Heights Baptist for 10 years. And so it is a pleasure to be with you. I look forward to sharing the word with you this morning and see what God has in store for each of us. As I was thinking about what to preach this morning, when your pastor texted me a couple weeks back and asked me to fill in, I started thinking about what I kind of experience most in my everyday life. I deal with a lot of people who are going through pain or trials or suffering. Now, it looks different every day. Some days it's the death of a grandparent, sickness within the family. Some days it's because this boy is not talking to this girl and it's the end of her world. So each day is different, but we all kind of suffer in our own ways and we all deal with trials in our own ways. But the thing that we are constantly reminded of, or I'm constantly reminded, is we all suffer. Every single one of us at some point in our life suffers. And our strength or our identity is not determined by the good times. It's determined by how we handle the suffering and trials in our life. Because they're going to happen. And some break under it, and some grow and flourish because they allow God to do what he desires to do in them through those suffering, through those trials. So we're going to be in Romans 5 this morning. But before we get to Romans 5, I wanted to look at a passage that we're familiar with. And we talked about it this Wednesday at the church that I attend. And so I was sitting there listening to our pastor, and our pastor was talking about verses that oftentimes get misrepresented. And sometimes we quote it not looking at the full context of what it truly means. And so this last Wednesday, he was talking about Jeremiah 29:11, and we're all familiar with it. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Now, that's a beautiful passage, right? And we love to cling to those words. You hear prosperity gospel preachers oftentimes quote that to talk about how we're supposed to be successful and wealthy and God wants all this for us. You hear people talk about that when others are going through pain, that, hey, God has a plan for you and he wants what's best for you. But I want you to understand the context of that scripture before we dive into Romans. The context of that scripture is this is at the beginning of the Israelites being taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Not at the end of it, at the beginning. And so prior to this, God, through Jeremiah, is saying, hey, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. You're going to be in captivity. You're going to be a slave to another man for 70 years. But then we get to Jeremiah 29:11, but I have plans for you. I have plans for you. Church, I need each and every one of us to understand that God has a plan. And sometimes it's through the suffering that that plan is revealed. I came across this quote by one of my favorite authors. Some of y'all may be very familiar with him. Some of you may not. But C.S. Lewis, he wrote a variety of writings. He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. I recommend that for any child that is growing up and wants to read just some incredible writings that have an undertone of God in them. But C.S. Lewis was a scholar and a religious theologian in his own right. He wrote Mere Christianity. He wrote Screwtape Letters. He wrote the Problem with Pain. He wrote many things, but he said this about suffering. He said, C.S. Lewis once described suffering as God's megaphone through which he calls on people to turn to him. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So suffering is used by God for his glory and to bring his people back to him. Like I said, very often I deal with people who are going through trials. Some of you may think those trials are small, but in their world, to a middle school mind, these trials are huge. To a second grader's mind, they go through some big trials when someone stole their Twinkie. You know, there's big things that they're dealing with. But I was also reminded as I was driving here this morning that we're 9 days removed from the year anniversary that Lyndon Phillips passed away. A tragedy in our community, a tragedy in Wiggum School. On March 18th of last year, he passed away. I got that call as I was sitting at the rec department with my kids playing sports. I had to have that conversation with my son as he got home that night from a baseball game in Albany, because my son was friends with Lyndon and they were both in the seventh grade together. I had to call in counselors the next day for our community as a school as we listened to students talk about loss, and many of them dealing with loss for the first time. Some fall apart when trials happen, and some grow stronger. It depends on your perspective. It depends on what you allow God to do. It depends on what your mindset is focused on. Brother Tim in prayer this morning talked about how Peter in y'all's Sunday school lesson talks about setting our hope on God. Because God has a plan in all things. God has a plan in our joy, in our trials. It's for His kingdom work. I'm reminded all the time, and I like to remind people, that we're just the supporting character in this story about God. And so anything we go through is set in motion to bring God glory in some way if we respond appropriately and correctly about it. And we need to remember that God is constantly working in our life. I may have used this illustration before. I don't know. And I speak in a lot of different places, and so I never know where I share a story. But my mother-in-law passed away before I got to meet her. By all accounts, by my wife and by her siblings and by everybody I've ever met, the woman was an incredible woman who loved God and spoke truth into many people's lives. She passed away from leukemia. She was in the hospital for 6 months and then lost that battle. But I remember talking to my wife, and her three siblings walked away from the church because of what happened to their mom. Because of this question of, why would you allow this to happen to such a strong, godly woman? And then my wife, as we were talking, said, but Al, there were 750 people at my mom's funeral. 750 people at my mom's funeral in a town as small as Marianna, where we had to go to a different church because their home church could not fit the crowds. The visitation took over 5 hours with people from all walks of life, even a transvestite in the community who my mother-in-law had loved on and spoke truth to, all of them hearing the gospel maybe for the only time. God uses trials and pain and hardship for His glory. And we need to think about, what is God doing in our life? Because as I am often reminded, yes, it would have been great to meet my mother-in-law, it had been great for her to meet her grandchildren. But God used that story, that life, bigger than anything that I could have ever imagined, more importantly than her meeting her grandchildren. And so in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, it says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In the NIV version of Scripture, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Life is full of unexpected challenges. And it's very easy to turn to God when we're going through good things. It's very easy to talk about how good God is when life is going well. But what do you say about God when you're suffering? What do you say about God when you're in the midst of hardships? What do you say about God when you feel broken and torn down? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where our relationship with God becomes real. Because it's easy to love God when he's giving you all this stuff. I mean, think about it. Say you got a job where the first year of your job, they gave you everything you wanted. They gave you like 2 months of vacation. They gave you your salary. They gave you all that you wanted. And then the second year, they said, you know what, we made a mistake and we gave you too high of a salary. We need to adjust. So we're going to cut your salary in half and you only get 3 days vacation. How would you speak about your job in year one versus year two? Oftentimes we do that to God. We think God is the greatest thing ever when everything's going well. When everything is going our way, when we're not going through pain, when we're not going through hardship, when we're not suffering, when we're not dealing with a crisis, we think God is incredible. But then we get hit with reality. We get hit with brokenness because we live in a broken, fallen world as a result of original sin. As a result of what Adam and Eve did, we live in a broken and fallen world where disease happens and death happens and suffering happens. And so then that hits us and we get this woe is me mentality and we start to question God. But the scripture tells us that in those moments, that's when our hope should be made the strongest. That's when our character should be forged. You see, suffering is a part of our journey. Suffering is a part of our journey. The Apostle Paul says in this scripture that we glory in our suffering. He understands that it's going to happen to all of us. He understands that we're going to walk through the metaphorical lion's den. We're going to have moments of pain, trials, hardship. We're going to face difficulties. And y'all all know this all too well. Most everybody in this room has dealt with loss. Most everybody in this room has dealt with some kind of pain in this earthly existence where somebody we love has gone to be with the Lord. We see that. And so we know that it's real. But where do you turn to when those things happen? There's an older lady in our church that she dealt with more suffering than anybody I'd ever met. She buried 3 children and 2 grandchildren and a daughter-in-law. And I remember sitting with her during one of the later funerals that we were doing for one of her family members, and she said, Al, I don't understand how people get through this without God. Now that's perspective. Because she, in her broken state, said, but to God be the glory. Because he's with me, and he's for me, and tomorrow's going to be a new day, and he works all things for his glory and his honor and his praise. How can we rejoice in suffering? How can we find hope in the very things that bring us pain or confusion or discouragement or hurt or hardship? Paul never expresses in this or states in this that we should enjoy suffering. We should not look for it and just love the pain. What he says is that it is real And rather than being broken by it, run to God in it. Run to God in it. Find strength. Because it's going to happen to everybody. The process that he describes is suffering producing perseverance, and perseverance building character, and character giving rise to hope. This is a process that I think that we're all familiar with, and that you've probably heard from the pulpit many times about the refining of gold. What happens with the refining of gold is they put the gold in extremely hot temperatures, where the impurities rise to the surface so that they can be removed, and the process continues until what is left? Pure gold. And so similarly, our faith is a refining process. Our character comes about through suffering and trials. Or who we really are rise during hard circumstances. I remember having a conversation a couple years back about the need or possibility for educators to carry weapons in school. It was a topic going on. Ohio passed a law a couple years ago that allowed with certain training that teachers could carry weapons to school because there weren't enough resource officers or there weren't enough police officers in school to protect the schools the way they needed to be protected. And I remember having a conversation with our SRO, and he said, here's the problem now, is that if they're not trained appropriately, then they may do more harm than good. He said, I have no problem with them carrying, but they need to go through the right training, and they need to be put under fire to see how they will handle an intense situation. And so, I'm not going to make an argument one way or the other for the need for that in schools, but I will say this. When you're placed under fire, who you really are comes to the surface. And so, you don't want a bunch of teachers who have never been trained in a tragedy situation to be faced with a tragedy situation for the first time and just be shooting willy-nilly or running from the situation. You need people who have been placed, and that's what happens in military. That's what happens in, you know, police academy. They put you in real-life situations over and over and over to see if you're going to break or if you're going to rise through the trials. Rise through the pain. Rise through the hardship. Because they don't want you to get into real life and break. If you're going to break, they want to do it before they ever get there. But they want to see you rise to the top. And so we need to understand that it's a part of our journey. We're all going to face it. There's not a person in here that hasn't dealt with pain or struggle or hardship or hurt. But we also need to realize that hope is anchored in the love of God. Hope is anchored in the fact that he has something bigger than we can ever imagine. Romans 5:5 again says, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now we need to understand that the love of God is shown in every aspect of our life. What do I mean by that? If we look at our lives, if we look at what we're going through, none of us deserve anything we have. Why? Because we're sinners separated from God. And the moment that you sin against a pure and holy God, what do you deserve? Death, hell. Right? The moment that you sin against God, and every day beyond that first sin in your life is a gift from God. Every single day in your life beyond the time that you sin against a pure and holy God that has every right to turn his back on you, every day beyond that first sin is a gift. An offering to turn to him, an offering to seek repentance, an offering to be made new in the cross. And so when we look at our life as Christians, can we really complain about anything? Can we really complain about anything that we're going through? Because we know that this life is temporary. This life is temporary. And on the other side of this life is an eternity without any of this suffering, without any of this pain, without any of this hardship. And so the truth is, if I have to go through some of this here for God to be made known, then I need to praise God in it. And I need to see the love of God through my suffering and through my pain and through my hardship. I mean, think about this. You know, a lot of people will be like, hey, why do bad things happen to good people? Because bad things also happen to bad people. And if they don't see an example from good people, then what's the world going to come to? We're all going to face suffering and hardship. Guess what? The church needs recovering alcoholics and recovering drug addicts and recovering from marital issues and divorces. Why do they need those individuals? Because they're going to encounter somebody who's going through the same thing that needs God spoken into them and is going to relate to their story. And so sometimes God uses trials like divorce, or trials like abortion, or trials like infidelity in marriages. Sometimes God uses those things to speak to somebody who needs salvation, and salvation is more important than any suffering or trial that we go through. And we need to understand that again, we are just a side character in God's story. And if our life, good, bad, and ugly, can be used for his glory, then to God be the glory, right? To God be the glory that he can use every single part of us. How many of you in your life have gone through a very difficult time, a very difficult hardship or struggle, and then you get on the other side of it and you see God through it the whole time? And you think, man, God did this so that I could find this, or so that I could discover this. He used that moment for something bigger than me. And we can praise God in that, right? But then we get faced with it again and we're like, woe is me, what are you doing now? Because oftentimes we forget what God has done and only focus on what God is doing. And so there's hope in the love of God and what he's doing for us. Think about the story of Job. Job experienced unimaginable loss and suffering, and yet, what did he proclaim? He proclaimed, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I can almost guarantee you that nobody in this room has gone through the amount of suffering that Job went through. But yet he was able to claim that even though I deal with this, I will trust God. Job wasn't sitting there saying, all right, I'm done. I hate God. I mean, his friends were saying that, right? What did they say? They said, curse God and die. But he says, though he slay me, I will trust him. When we remember God's love is present in our lives, every aspect of our lives, even in the darkest moments, when we remember that, we are reminded that we are never alone. When I was growing up, I used to think the footprint painting poem, you know what I'm talking about? The, hey God, in the hard times, why is there only one footprint or one set of footprint? I used to think that was the cheesiest thing. Like, when I was growing up, I was like, oh my gosh, you're talking about the footprints again. But as you grow older, you realize, man, there's comfort in knowing that when we can't go, God is carrying us. There's comfort in knowing that when we can no longer take any steps, God is picking us up and walking us through it. And yeah, as a teenager, that may have been cheesy, but as an adult who's needed God to pick him up on many occasions, there's great comfort in knowing that and seeing what God is doing. So hope is found in his love, but hope also points us towards the future. In Romans 8:18, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. As I said earlier, this is momentary. This is a temporary difficulty, a speed bump on our way to eternity, on our way to forever, on our way to what God has for us. And I love that in Scripture it says, hey, we are going to a place where there is no more pain, where there is no more suffering, where there is no more heartache, there is no more death. We are going there. And because we are going there, and that is predetermined because of what God did for us on the cross and us accepting that, because we are going there, this can be handled. This can be worked through. And it doesn't matter what it is. I have family members that have been suffering for many years. And there doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel other than death and eternity. And it'd be very easy after 15, 20 years of suffering and going through earthly pain to say, man, I just want to give up. And that's natural and that's normal. But here's what I know. If you're still here, God can still use you. God still has a plan for you. And we can long for eternity, but let's not rush eternity. Because God's still doing something while you're here on earth. And let's remember that. Hope in difficult times is not just about surviving the present, but about anticipating the glory that is to come. Our hope is rooted in the promise of eternal life. Now, as you can tell, I am a man. I don't know if the bald head or the beard gave it away. I've never experienced childbirth. If I would have, I'd probably be rich right now and doing something else. No, but I've never experienced childbirth. But when I think about this idea of longing for a future, dealing with hard in the present, I think about childbirth. Whether you labor for moments, hours, days, the result is a baby. The result is a child that God has given to you. The result is a life that God has placed in your hands and in your life. And most people I talk to, not all people that I talk to, but most people, during the course of labor, they're like, I'm never doing this again. And then days and months removed, they're like, I could have another child. I could have another child. My son just, his wife just had twins, and she was like, I'm done. And now she's already talking about having another one, and I'm like, no, no, we're done. But we forget that pain when we see the glory of our child. There's going to come a day where we're going to forget any earthly pain. There's going to come a day where you're not going to remember any bad thing that ever happened. You're not going to think about it because you're going to be sitting at the feet of God. You're going to get to rejoice in Him daily. We can deal with it now for the moment, for the temporary. And lastly, and I think this is the most comforting of all, we are not alone in our struggles. We are not alone in our struggles. Every single day at Williams School, we have over 600 people on campus. Between about 550 students and then another 60 or so staff members, we have over 600 people on campus. And the beauty is that all of them have had trials and suffered. So it's not just me, it's not just them. I remember I went to a doctor as a kid, and this is, maybe you'll think this is funny, but I used to think this was funny. Every time I walked into the doctor and told them what I was experiencing, he said, oh, I've experienced that also. Like, I mean, I have stomach issues. He goes, oh, I've had stomach issues. I walked into a chalkboard and cut my side. He said, oh, I did that also, but it was a wood chalkboard, not a metal one. Like every single thing that I experienced, and I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, he's your doctor. You know, has he experienced menopause and pregnancy? But there's comfort in knowing that somebody else is dealing with the same thing or has dealt with it. There's comfort in knowing that you're not alone. That you're not the only person who's lost a job or is dealing with children who are disobeying and rebelling or having struggles in your marriage. There's comfort in knowing that you're not walking alone. And I love going to my Sunday school class for about the first 10 minutes of my Sunday school class. We talk about the trials of being young parents. Well, I mean, I guess I'm not young anymore, but being parents. And we look at our stories, and we talk about how hard it was to get to church some mornings, and we talk about how there's a reason I'm bald, and how, you know, what would they really say if I just dropped a kid off and left him? All those are jokes. I would never do that. But if you've raised teenagers, sometimes you want to. And so there's comfort in realizing that I'm not alone. That all these people in this room with me are dealing with the same hardship and troubles and dealing with the same pain and hurt and the same difficulties. And we leave saying, okay, it's good to be in community where you know that there is a common ground. As I said about that lady who had lost many people in the church and in her family, how can we do this without God? God has provided us with people who are going to walk through our life and in times of need will be there for us. Think about past trials. How many times somebody just showed up at your house and spoke love and truth into you? because they have experienced it in their own lives. The loss of a loved one or a job loss or whatever, they haven't experienced it also. There's comfort in knowing that we are not alone in our struggles. So in conclusion, in difficult times, it's easy to feel like all hope is gone. It's easy to feel like it's out of reach, like we'll never have it again. But as believers, we know that our hope is not based in circumstances. Our hope is based in the cross. Our hope is based in what God did for us through his Son. And so if you're going through a difficult season, because you may be, if you're going through a difficult season, know that you're not alone. And if nobody here on earth understands, God understands. Jesus understands. Jesus suffered. Jesus had hardship. You are not alone, and there's hope in the salvation of Jesus Christ. But also understand that if you're here today and you're suffering and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then currently there is no hope. No hope for eternity, but there's hope in the fact that God has offered a branch to you. God has offered a way to connect with him to you. And so you may not have eternity today, but all it takes is believing that what he did on the cross was for you and for the world because of our brokenness, because of our sin that separated us from a pure and holy God. Suffering happens. Suffering happens many times in our life, and sometimes it feels like it never goes away, but this is temporary. And God can use it. Are you going to allow God to use it? Or are you just going to run away from him and get mad at him and think, woe is me? We can either be broken or we can come out of it stronger. But it's up to you. Are you going to run from God or turn to God? God, we love you. We thank you for bringing us here this morning. I pray that something that was said spoke to somebody in this room. God, we all have trials and suffering and pain in our life. We all have hardships and brokenness. But let us remember that you're bigger than all that. God, I pray that if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they come to a saving knowledge of you through the understanding that they are separated from you because of their sin, but you have offered a gift of your Son and the cross and salvation. And all they have to do is turn to you. But for those in this room that do know you, Lord, if they're going through trials or pain or hardship and have kind of just been mad at you for a little while, I understand. And you understand. But let them give that anger over to you today. Let them find hope in you and your story for them. In Jesus' name, amen.